Welcome to the Find Your Leadership Confidence Podcast with Vicki Nethling. You are about to discover impactful lessons that help you grow as an individual, grow your confidence, and find the positive and good within you, so you powerfully and authentically become the best version of yourself. Be sure you visit our website at www.findyourleadershipconfidence.com. While you're there, subscribe to us via your favorite network. Now tune in, get ready, and enjoy the journey of emerging as a leader of exception in the 21st century.
Welcome, everyone, to the Find Your Leadership Confidence Podcast. I'm your host, Vicki Nethling, coming to you from Roswell, Georgia. The goal of this podcast is to bring topics and guests that will empower you to become that confident leader and take your business and your life to the next level. Today, I am so excited to have with me Laurie Gilbertson. And let me tell you about Laurie. Laurie is a former New York City sex crime and organized crime prosecutor, television legal analyst, educator, and entrepreneur. As the owner of Tribeca Blue Consulting, she helps professionals communicate with clarity and confidence in their public speaking, presentations, trial work, and media appearances. Laurie is passionate about helping people present their ideas in creative and persuasive ways that engage their audience. As a former trial lawyer and television legal analyst, she shares insider tips and tricks from her experiences in front of judges, juries, and live television audiences to help her clients get the most out of their presentations and public speaking. Laurie works with her clients through group training and one-on-one coaching to develop their personal and professional narratives, craft the hooks that draw their audiences in, and curate the stories that keep them listening and wanting to learn more. This leads to more clarity and confidence in their communication and more attention and success for them and their businesses. To me, as the teacher, also same as Laurie, it's so important that you understand storytelling. So today we're going to talk about storytelling techniques to make your communication shine. Please join me in welcoming my guest, Laurie Gilbertson. Laurie, so excited to have someone so aligned with what I do and understands the importance of being that great communicator and storyteller.
Vicki, thanks so much for having me. I feel like we're speaking the same language here.
It's really going to be, I think, a great conversation we're going to have, but we always start with a very easy question for you, and that is, please tell the audience, where do you live?
I live in Denver, Colorado. Beautiful Denver, Colorado, where contrary to public belief, it is not freezing all the time. We actually have 300 days of sun every year.
Yes. Sun and temperatures at where?
I actually, you know, I'm looking outside my office window right now and it is sunny and beautiful and about 65 degrees, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. For January.
Same as Atlanta. It's same as Atlanta temperatures right now. I love Atlanta for that. I'm originally from Pittsburgh and we had gray for, you know, from like November to April. And I love the fact that I can get up in a January day and the sun is so bright. You have to have sunglasses on. The temperature might only be 60 or 50 or maybe sometimes 40, but the sun is shining bright.
It makes such a difference, doesn't it? With your mood, with everything. I am an East Coaster as well. I grew up in Maryland, right outside DC. Used to those like biting cold, you know, winds in the winter. And honestly, we just don't have that here. Kind of nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I gave a lot of what your professional life was, but we know that your story has more to it than that. Tell us your backstory of what took you on this journey to where you are today.
Wow. Well, I grew up in a family where my father was an attorney, actually still is, although he's in the process of retiring. And so I grew up with this kind of advocacy and storytelling and, you know, just this really compelling kind of communication all the time. So I really got used to sitting at the table at dinner time and kind of sparring with my dad a bit. There's four kids in our family, two boys and two girls. I am the oldest. And between my mom, my dad, and all of us, you know, it was a pretty lively conversation. So all of that, and a bit of a dramatic spark that I have, although sometimes I will deny it, really led me to want to find something to do that was super creative, that also did some good in the world, really served people, and that was also intellectually stimulating. And all that really came from how I grew up, seeing the way that my parents communicated with us, having, you know, a really loving family where we were encouraged to be creative, follow whatever path we want. I can't say that my father was not thrilled when I decided to go to law school. He was. I can also say that when I told him I was not joining a big law firm, I was going to New York City to be a criminal prosecutor, that his jaw didn't kind of fall open. And he was just like, what? What are you talking about? So, you know, that's kind of how I got there a bit professionally. And as I said, a little bit of drama and a lot of creativity and curiosity mixed in there. When I was little, I would put on fashion shows and make all of the neighborhood kids come, and I would be the MC and they'd parade around. And, you know, there was some drama. And I loved being in plays. I loved acting. I loved writing. You know, there was this real spark there. And I, surprisingly, I think to most people, found that law school also was very fulfilling in that way, because lawyers are really storytellers.
And they're actors too.
Oh, for sure. You know, I like to say that trial lawyers, even former trial lawyers such as myself, are just frustrated actors. We really, really are.
That is so true.
Yeah. So that's a little bit of you know, what led me to that. And I would say too, when I was in high school, when I was in college, I was also really drawn to journalism. Mm. And I think that was just that creativity, the writing, the idea of taking facts and kind of making them into a story and a narrative and putting all that out there in a way that people could understand. And in college, when I was deciding which path to follow, I really was considering journalism. I had done some radio work and some TV work, mm-hmm. and I had written for the newspaper, and I really did love it. So I think there's a lot in common between being a lawyer and being a journalist. And I found a lot of those qualities about journalism that I loved with being an attorney when I was practicing too.
And if you think about it, whenever you are doing trial lawyers, there is a story that unfolds. And as a great author, you're looking, who is the protagonist, antagonist? What is the plot? Where is that roller coaster ride that you take them on? And as you unfold all that made that crime happen, you have a great story right there.
Yeah, so, you know, natural, absolutely. The best trial lawyers are good storytellers.
Yeah.
And the thing about storytelling when you're on trial is you don't pick your facts. You know, this comes to you. And so you really have to figure out how are you going to take the facts you have, the witnesses you have, and put that into a compelling narrative that is engaging, that's persuading, and that jurors, you know, who don't have legal knowledge, mostly jurors, are going to understand, they're going to resonate with it. And that's also part of the challenge and the fun of being an attorney. And it takes a while to get to that point. You know, a lot of lawyers really just, you know, they're getting the facts out, they're figuring out how you do a trial, and that's all well and good. But once you start infusing the story of it, that's when people really can kind of latch onto it and understand. Because truly, as you know, because you do so much of this, Vicky, you know, storytelling is the way we make sense of the world. It's how we start when, you know, we're just beginning to have language to make sense of things around us. So that's this kind of innate way of relating to the world. And when you think about it that way, it is amazing to me that every single profession isn't so hyper-focused on using storytelling.
Really, a lot of what you just described, those that are listening that are entrepreneurs, business owners, even think about it. You have to know your audience and the audience from day to day. It's not always going to be the norm that you have. So just as you have to be able to speak to that set of jurors that you would have, you need to be able to talk about your product, your service in a way that resonates with that audience. And maybe stay away from all of the technical things and the facts, and the stories make it more relatable, make it more being able for me to see me in that story, and therefore me to be able to more often know, like, and trust you.
Oh, absolutely. And the thing that I think most entrepreneurs don't necessarily think about is the fact that you are not the hero of the story that you're telling.
That's so true.
Right?
That's so
you're
true.
Not the hero. You're the guide. And I know, I am sure you know, do a lot with this. I know, Vicky, and for those who aren't as familiar, you know, there is this idea of the hero's journey. And I think there are 12 maybe steps in there. So just to really simplify it, you know, there is a hero. The hero has a guide. There is some sort of conflict, and then the hero emerges renewed at having met a conflict and a challenge at the end, to be oversimplified. And really, with any kind of storytelling, and especially with this kind of brand storytelling for entrepreneurs, you are not the hero. You are the guide. You're taking your customer on a journey. What can you do for them? How does your product or your service relate to them? You know, when I started my company a few years ago, all of this was new to me. You know, I had been an attorney. I had no idea how to be an entrepreneur. And, you know, I took a course on consulting just to figure out what consulting was, so that I'm like, do I have a consulting company? What am I doing here? And to just really, really delve in and start. And this, once you get this idea, which I learned through this whole process, that you are there serving your customer through your product or your service. You are telling the story. You are guiding them through it. It is not about you. It's about them. So for me, you know, when I was thinking, oh, I'll put on my website all my qualifications and all these great things I've done. And this, it's kind of fun to say you were a prosecutor. People want to know about that. You know, there's movies about it and TV about it. This is so exciting. Nobody cares, right? They want to know, what can you do for them? So instead of saying, you know, I had all these years and I did all this stuff, what I really need to be saying, you know, with me as an example, is public speaking difficult for you? Do you get nervous when you need to get up in front of people? Is that something you'd like to conquer? I can help. And this is how I can help. Mm. And that way, I'm the guide, right? I'm not the hero. The hero is the client who comes in, does the work, conquers their fear, and goes out as that hero's journey and meets the conflict head on. And when you're an entrepreneur and you're helping people do that, it is incredibly satisfying to start thinking about things that way. And once you do, you will never see anything the same again. You will never look at a biography the same way. You'll never look at a profile on LinkedIn the same way. You'll never look at a website the same way once you start doing that.
So I'd like for you to share some maybe recent examples of how you've helped one of your clients go from being okay in their presentation, especially online, to being great by just adding the stories.
Yeah. And you can hear my dog in the background. He's very excited about storytelling. Maybe you can't, and the microphone is working. So great. He's just expressing his happiness there. So I had a client who came to me. I got a call from him saying, "Lori, oh my goodness, I just got asked to do a presentation. It's in front of all of these clients of the law firm. And I've never actually had to speak in public before." He was attorney.
Oh, yep. No.
He was a transactional real estate attorney. And so, you know, not a litigator, not a trial lawyer, wasn't used to doing any of this, had an opportunity. And, you know, kudos to him. He took advantage of the opportunity. And when he was asked, "Will you speak at the clients, to our clients at this event?" he jumped on it, said yes, and then called me. And what we did was we sat down and started to craft the story of what he was going to tell. And the fun part about this was that it was going to be kind of aligned with the baseball team here in Denver. And the event was actually going to be with a baseball game and at the stadium there. So we could kind of weave that in as kind of a fun theme. We started to figure out, you know, what kind of slides might he want to use? Because he really did feel like he needed something to kind of guide him through this. And what was he going to be talking about? What length were we going to be using? And what was the theme in the story? So we had, as I said, 2 weeks. And we sat down, we started talking about it, we started working through it. And the thing that really worked for this particular client was getting up and doing it, because he'd never done it before. So he would do it, I would watch, I would video him, we would see what the situation was with filler words, with confidence. And the more and more he did it, the more comfortable he got.
Yep.
And the more and more he did it, the more excited he got about this opportunity. And the more we kind of started thinking, you know, this isn't, as I was saying, this isn't about you. This is about the people you're speaking to. What do you use this framework? What do you want them to know? How do you want them to feel? And at the end of your talk, what do you want them to do? Right? What's that call to action? And once we could put it in those terms, for someone who was a transactional attorney, that made sense. That was tangible. That could tell a story. And, you know, I cannot emphasize enough practice and preparation, especially if you're someone who is not really experienced in public speaking. And we took the story that he wanted to tell, which was, you know, a bit technically related to these clients. We put it in with a theme that related to baseball. So he had some great humor in there, which was wonderful and helped him connect with this audience and be really just human, you know, and real. And I would have to say, almost, you know, as most of the public would think, unlawyer-like, right? Entertaining, creative. And to continue with the puns, he went in 2 weeks later, he did it, and he knocked it out of the park. And he did so well that the firm continued to give him these opportunities. And one of the clients who was there was so impressed by him that they went and eventually hired him away to work for them.
Wow.
So it just, you know, by seizing this opportunity, even though he was terrified of it, didn't know what it was going to be, really didn't know how he was even going to get through it. And then by reaching out for help, and then by throwing himself into the practice and the preparation, he just really saw these results. And then from then on, these things didn't scare him anymore. He had the framework to know what to do, and he knew that he could get through it and really have some amazing benefits from it.
And the more you say it.
And it was beautiful for me, just as a coach there, to watch that transformation. Yeah. You know, you talk about, you know, everyone does have a story and everyone communicates in their own unique way. And so what I do with my clients is I really want to tap into, what is your unique story? What is your unique way of relating to the world? Mm-hmm. And how can we take all of those amazing things and put that into something where you are giving to your audience through all of those innate talents and characteristics that you have? And that's what I did there. And it was wonderful. I'm saying I did it. Ultimately, I was the guide and he was the hero.
And I think that's something to really stress too. When you do your stories, even though it's your story, it's so much more impactful to not use the I, you know, find ways to be you and we and have that audience hear themselves in that story. And sometimes a new speaker trying to impress, you know, as you mentioned earlier about your accolades and all your great things, sometimes I hear the dog now.
Yes, let me pause a moment and get him out. Excuse me one second. Hey.
All right, so it's important that the audience doesn't hear it's all you and all the things about you, because then they think, well, that's you, that's not me. And it's so important, as in your storytelling, that you find that way to weave in the stories of other people. Mm-hmm. And I love that you talked about how does it make that audience feel? To become more confident as a speaker, I think that's important. Can you talk about how you said how you felt as being in that experience, but how that person, after they finished that, how did that impact their confidence?
How it was a huge transformation, because so many people think that if you're going to get up and give a big presentation or give a big speech, you have to fit into some kind of mold, right? Mm-hmm. Of this uber confident, epic person who's telling stories in ways that have never been told before. And it's just so exciting and so engaging. And that is incredibly intimidating. So for this particular client, as we worked together over those 2 weeks, I could even see his confidence increasing. Yeah. And he was supremely confident in what he did in his work and the kind of transactional work he did. That's where he was the expert. Stepping into this, he had to know he wasn't quite the expert. Yeah. And that was also incredibly engaging, because we don't have to be perfect, and confidence does not mean perfection. In fact, perfection is kind of boring.
I say it all the time.
Vicky, I knew we were speaking the same language. I knew it. It's boring. It really mm-hmm. is. You know, it's the content that he was sharing. It was the way that he was telling even stories about himself a little bit that could relate to his audience, where he was being vulnerable, where he was even calling out the fact that he was not an experienced public yeah. speaker, but that he was so excited at the opportunity to speak to this audience that he jumped in to do it. So that also, expressing that vulnerability, mm-hmm. was both incredibly an incredible way to connect with the audience. And then in a way, because you don't necessarily think of vulnerability and confidence, but they were so inextricably tied there, because mm-hmm. as soon as he was vulnerable, they connected and yeah. he became more confident because he could feel that connection, and also because he could be authentic. And absolutely. That is such a big part of being confident. Yeah. You know, I did a presentation last week, actually, on being confident in the courtroom. And I wrote the title to it. You know, it was about confidence, communication, and the courtroom. And then when I sat down to plan it, I thought, just exactly what you asked me, what does confidence even mean? Right? Yeah. We throw that word around so much. What does it really mean? And the more I thought about it, I really thought, you know, confidence means something different to everybody. It means something different to each unique person and how they relate to the world, how they make sense of the world, how they want to go through the world, and what they want to share with others as they're doing it. So if, you know, I'd encourage people, and this is something I've done over the years, is watch speakers out there, right? Colleagues, people such as yourself, Vicky, when you're listening to podcasts, or if you're watching Vicky, you know, as a great example of this on her, on YouTube, you know, with the podcast, watch people, see what they do, see what resonates with you, see what might feel like it's something that you may either want to emulate, or it's kind of the way that you communicate to start to realize what that kind of confidence is going to mean to you. And we see these incredible speakers all the time. And when I was in court, I used to watch my colleagues, and some of them were unreal trial lawyers. But you know what a 6 foot tall man could do in court with his unique style of confidence is not something that I, as a 5 foot two woman, and trust me, I learned this lesson the hard way, could do and look confident. So it is really this way, you know, at least in communication, of figuring out who you are, what your strengths are, how you want to tap into them, what level of vulnerability you're comfortable with in front of an audience, and then really starting to hone that. And I think confidence isn't something necessarily that you are going to have the very first time you get up to talk. It is something, right? It is something that you are going to cultivate and uncover in yourself as you kind of continue along that journey. And it is really this, to me, this kind of credibility, this kind of authenticity with an audience where you're sharing things that are real. You are not trying to fit into a mold of what you think a communicator could look like. Because trust me, when I tried some of those things in court that I watched friends doing, I looked ridiculous, but I learned. And so you really, you know, I think confidence comes from honing, creating, and uncovering your own unique style.
So wonderful. Great words. And yes, we cannot all be that, the Les Browns and different folks. I work with the youth as well as adults. And I had a gentleman, he was 9 years old, and he came up, and he could have been a pastor on any Baptist church in the world. He gave a presentation to just, it was unbelievable. But one of the things that I noticed was he was always up here. In his stories, in his presentation, he was always up here. And what I try to teach folks is that you have to take people on a roller coaster ride to have a great story. And and so be comfortable having softness in your voice. Be comfortable really taking them on that vocal journey of it. And so it's been wonderful chatting with you. There's probably a whole another podcast we can do just on all different ways to be able to tell stories more impactfully. But we've run out of time. So it's time for me to go ahead and share my screen. If you're just listening, you should be have already got that paper and pencil. But if not, you can run and get that right now. And if you can't, if you're driving your car, stay safe. And know that you can go to my YouTube channel, please subscribe, as well as go to my findyourleadershipconfidence.com, find the show notes to be able to get all this information that will be on the screen. So Laurie's information, her website is
Tribeca.
You know, when I look at it, I together smashed together like that, I just can't get it out. Tribeca Consulting, TribecaBlueConsulting.com, TribecaBlueConsulting.com. You can also find her by searching her name on the internet, and it comes up with TribecaBlueConsulting.com. But if you go to LinkedIn, you can find her by, again, searching her name, Laurie Gilbertson. And I'm going to let Laurie talk to you about what you can find when you get to TribecaBlueConsulting.com, and also to her LinkedIn site. Go ahead, Laurie, it's all
yours.
Yeah,
thanks, Vicki. Yeah, it's a mouthful. Tribeca is the neighborhood I used to live in New York. And to be completely honest, I had to throw the blue in there because Tribeca Consulting was already taken when I formed my company. So there you go. That's how you can remember it. If you take a look on my website, you'll see the array of services I provide. And what I do in essence is work with people, executives, entrepreneurs, trial lawyers, to become better communicators. And that can be through one-on-one coaching. It can be through speaking that I do. You can bring me into your organization to speak, to do workshops of various lengths, and to also do individual coaching in your organization as well. If you're just an individual, you're listening, you're an entrepreneur, or you're just really, really wanting to hone those communication skills, I do one-on-one coaching as well for that. And in terms of trial consulting, I do all the kinds of things that I used to do as a prosecutor, and I'm really helping trial lawyers find their voices in court. So all of that is on my website. I'd love to hear from you, and I love to connect with people on LinkedIn. So feel free to connect or follow with me there and let me know you heard me on Vicki's podcast.
Awesome. Well, Laurie, it's just been so great. I mean, as we said, we have the same mindset and synergy in what we do, and we understand the power of storytelling in everything that we have. Life is a story. I hate whenever people say, well, I don't know, I don't have a story. Everybody has a story every day. So make sure that you, as your business owner, connect with people just like Laurie. If you have trouble being able to express your story and you want some guidance to be more engaging as a speaker, please visit TribecaBlueConsulting.com. Laurie, thanks so much for being a great guest.
Vicki, thanks so much for having me. And the world needs to hear these stories. Yeah, it really does, right?
They do. Yeah. As always, I remind everyone that life is a journey. It's up to you to enjoy the ride. This is Vicki Netling signing off.
Thank you for tuning into the Find Your Leadership Confidence Podcast with Vicki Netling, where we share impactful lessons that help you grow as an individual, grow your confidence, and find the positive and good within you so you powerfully and authentically become the best version of yourself. Remember to visit our website at www.findyourleadershipconfidence.com and enjoy even more great episodes like this one. Again, while you're here, subscribe to us via your favorite network. We look forward to seeing you next time on the Find Your Leadership Confidence podcast.